Are you a Smashburger king? Creating those crispy edges and the intense beefy flavor that puts fast food to shame? Thanks to Omaha Steaks, I never have to worry about whether I have high-quality proteins on hand. And they have so many options, handcrafted steaks, convenient comfort meals, and it's always excellent. Celebrate President's Day with the exceptional handcrafted flavor and convenience of Omaha Steaks. Get 50% off the world's best everyday protein. Go to omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code YUM at checkout. Go to https://omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Super Bowl week. Welcome to the Super Bowl edition of the Bacon Bets podcast. If you remember last year, I bet 59 different bets for Super Bowl 59. I'm going to do the same thing again this year, but of course we need to add a bet. So I got 60 bets for Super Bowl 60 between the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. This is the second year that I did this. Last year, I didn't look up to see exactly what my total was. I probably should have had that ready, but I definitely lost money on last year's Super Bowl because it did not go how I envisioned it. So let's hopefully do a little bit better this year's edition of the podcast. 60 bets for Super Bowl 60. If you didn't already listen, I did do a quick podcast for the WM Phoenix Open that you can check out on my YouTube channel and my podcast feed. But this is the big extravaganza, my friends. This is why I got my suit jacket on. I am ready to go. It is the biggest sports betting event of the year. And I hope and I pray to Gambler that the Super Bowl is going to go better than the rest of the NFL season did for me. Terrible regular season, terrible playoffs up till this point. By far, my worst season betting on the NFL of my life. So that probably means this is not going to go well either, and I just need to reset for next season. So maybe go ahead and take all 60 bets and then do the opposite. I have actually bet every single one of these plays, all 60 of them. Now, I did not bet a lot. It's 60 plays. And as you guys know, I'm a fan of gambling responsibly. So I put $5 on everything except for my side in the game. I put $100, actually $115 to win $100 on the side. I think the total I had 20 or 25 on, but all the props, $5 each. I used a couple $10 free bets on a few, but you get the gist of it. I'm not putting $100 in all these. I'm certainly not putting more than that. I'm putting $5. This is, to me, the Super Bowl is one of the few events that I just accept that I'm going to lose money on. This is not a money-making venture. I bet on a lot of weird things. I'll get through them, but I'm betting on novelty props for the halftime show and color of the Gatorade and the coin flip. It is just fun. I love having just a long list of bets that I just grade as the Super Bowl goes on. It's my favorite thing to do. So I don't suggest tailing all 60. What I do suggest is maybe listen through, find a few that you like, find a few that you agree with, and bet on those. And I have a little bit of something. If you're a Patriots backer, I got some bets that you'll like. If you're a Seahawks backer, I certainly have a ton of bets that you're going to like. If you're looking for novelty props for the halftime show or the Gatorade shower or anything like that, national anthem, I got plays for it all. I have to bet all those things if I want to place 60 bets on a single game. So before we get into it, this episode is brought to you by Pickett. If you guys aren't following me on social media, I have started tracking all of my bets on Pickett. All of my bets for the Super Bowl will be tracked on Pickett, except for, I think there's 5 bets I have placed related to the halftime show that are novelty props that aren't showing up on Pickett, probably because they're only available in Canada. But still, I think I double-checked. 55 of the 60 are officially tracked on Pickett. If you've already been following me on there, you actually got access to these bets as of Sunday night when I locked them in. So if you don't have a Pickett account, sign up for an account now. Use code MACBETS. That lets them know that I sent you, and you will get all of my bets. They get uploaded to Pickett as soon as I place my bets, whether it's all these bets or the $100 a day challenge or any other bets that I place, including live bets and futures and all those things, will be tracked on Picket. So follow me on Picket. And if you want some educational tools to actually make yourself be a winning better, unlike myself, if you actually want to win money at betting, sign up for Picket Pro. You get things like CLV analysis, parlay line shopping. You can use the web version of Picket. You can use a few extra sports books that aren't available with the free version. I believe Bet365 is one of them that I have that I can only sync up with my account and with Picket because I got Picket Pro. So sign up for Picket Pro, and if you use that code that I gave earlier, MacBets, you get 10% off your first year of your Picket Pro subscription. I'll have the link down below for with all those details, but whether you sign up for just the free version of Picket or the pro version, use code MacBets. It will let them know that I sent you. All right. I don't know how long this is going to take. As the podcast goes on, the bets get weirder and weirder. So I'm actually going to quickly look through the list here. They're all normal football bets that you'd normally place until about bet number 48. So the last 12 get a little bit weird. There's going to be some bets that I'm going to talk about more. Some I'm going to talk about less. Some will be very quick. But still, it's still 60 bets that I got to get through. So let's get into it. It is the Super Bowl edition of the Bacon Bets podcast. The road to Super Bowl 60 is here. We've reached the destination. Let's get into it. Let's go.
No, Lisa. The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws.
More bacon than the pan can handle. 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 Utility man.
All right, let's dive into it. We're going to start with, obviously, my pick for a side. I'm going to take, based on the latest line, Seahawks -4.5, -112. Now, this is the one bet that I've locked in at a different price than what I'm giving out on this show. I bet this right after the NFC Championship game. I got Seahawks -3.5. I knew that number wasn't going to last very long. It didn't. Within like 30 minutes after I bet it, it was at -4.5. Now, as of recording it right now, it's at -4.5, -112. I still like it at that price, but I will personally be tracking it at the number I got of that, which is -3.5. But I still like it at -4.5. 3.5 to 4.5 is not that big of a difference in the world of NFL betting. But at the end of the day, the Seahawks are the best team in the NFL. I don't think we should overthink this. I do think the NFC Championship was the true Super Bowl in terms of the game that was between the two best teams in the league. Almost every metric you look at, the Seahawks are better. First in overall DVOA, first in net yards per play, first in net EPA. Patriots rank 9th, 3rd, and 2nd in those metrics. And we also saw how the Patriots fared against actual good defenses in the playoffs. And it was not good. 15.6 average offensive points per game in those contests. Thankfully for them, they got to face a Chargers team with no offensive tackles, a CJ Stroud Texans-led team with no Nico Collins and just a terrible CJ Stroud, and then Denver Broncos with no Bo Nix, with the fourth quarter being a blizzard. The Patriots did not look good in those games offensively. Yes, their defense got better. They got healthy late in the season and were better in the playoffs, but I got a lot of concerns about Drake May going up against the Seahawks defense, which I'm going to talk about several times throughout this episode, so I won't dwell on it too much right now. But also, a true difference maker, I think, in this game is the Seahawks special teams. It was a big advantage they had against the Rams. I think it's a big advantage they have in this game as well. Second best unit in the NFL, according to DVOA, second in special teams DVOA. Patriots 20th. So look for special teams to play a significant role in this game. So I will take Seahawks -4.5. -112 against the Patriots. I do understand the trend that underdogs have dominated the Super Bowl lately, at least when it comes to covering the spread. They've covered 5 straight Super Bowls. They've won 4 of the last 5. Small sample size. I don't think that's too relevant in this one. I think the Seahawks are by far the better team, and I think they will run away with it. Pick number 2, pick on the total. I'm going to go under 45.5 at -110. I actually think, now my biggest bet is on the Seahawks. I do actually have to mention, I have a future on the Seahawks from October, 35-1. Only put a $10 free bet on them. So that'd be nice to win those, $350. That I kind of forgot I had, to be honest, until I was looking through my bets recently. Seahawks Patriots under 45.5. I actually think if you were talking about the absolute best bet to place for this game, the closer we're getting to the Super Bowl, the more I think the under is actually the best bet to place. Patriots offense averaged 3.3 yards per play in their three playoff games. Not good. It's shocking they're able to win all three of those games. 3.3 yards per play in the playoffs. Remember, the hardest defense they faced in the regular season was the Browns, I guess. Faced three good defenses in the playoffs. 3.3 yards per play. Now they have to take on a team that is arguably the best defense of the bunch. I will say, though, I do think the Patriots' defense has gotten better. I think they got healthy late in the season. Their blitz package has been very good. They're extremely well coached. So I also think the Patriots' defense is going to be good in this game. Both teams also like to run the ball. They're both in the top five in the NFL in run play percentage. The more they run, the more the clock drains. The more the clock drains, the less time there is to score. So you got two run-first offenses going up against two very good defenses. I think this game is a recipe for an under 45.5 minus 110, and the sharp money has been moving the line that way as well. It was 46 at one point. I think it opened 46.5. So I think the sharpest play in terms of a side or total is the under. 45.5 minus 110 is the current number as of when I'm recording this episode. All right, it's time to get into player props. I have a ton of player props, but basically my strategy for this whole 60 bets for Super Bowl 60 is to envision how I think the game is going to play out, and then basically all of the bets, most of them, are centered around what could happen if it plays out like I envision it playing out. Now, the way that I envision it playing out is the Seahawks win, they cover, but the total goes under. So that leads me to my first player prop here. I got Drake May under 220.5 passing yards against the Seahawks defense. He hasn't had a completion percentage of 60% or better in each of his three playoff games. He only threw for 180 or more yards once in the playoffs. It was against the Chargers, which was the weakest of all the defenses that he's faced. He threw for just 179 yards against the Texans, 86 yards against the Broncos, and missed me with that, oh yeah, but it was a blizzard. Bullshit. It was a blizzard for the last 10 minutes of the game. It was not a blizzard the first three quarters of that game. And he threw for 86 yards against the Broncos. Now he faces the Seahawks defense, that's fifth in opponent dropback EPA, fourth in opponent dropback success rate, third in opponent yards per pass attempt. Drake May will once again struggle, in my opinion. I'll take the under on his passing yards total of 220.5. Now, there is one player that I'm on quite a bit in this game, and it is the Seahawks running back, Kenneth Walker. I think he's going to have quite a bit of rushing attempts. So I have several bets on Kenneth Walker. The first one I'm going to do is over 18.5 rush attempts. He had 19 rushing attempts against the 49ers, 19 rushing attempts against the Rams. People forget the Seahawks actually have the second highest run play rate in the NFL behind only the Ravens. They run the ball in 50% of their plays. And if the Seahawks have a late lead, like I envision they will, obviously they're going to hand the ball to Kenneth Walker to drain the clock and try to close the thing out. So Kenneth Walker over 18.5 rush attempts at minus 122. If you want to find out where all of these sports books are that I'm placing all these bets, I'm probably not going to mention them every time. They're all either FanDuel, BetMGM, Caesars, or DraftKings. Check out the written version of the article. I mentioned, and for all the bets, I mentioned what sportsbook I placed the bet at. But obviously, you should be line shopping because odds will change as the week goes on. If you like one of these bets and you want to tail it, line shop and find the latest up-to-date best odds. All right, next bet. I'm going in on the Patriots, pro Patriots bet. Travion Henderson. His numbers, extremely low at every sports book. The betting market, very low in Travion Henderson this week because he did not touch the ball very often in the AFC Championship game. How many attempts? Three attempts in the AFC Championship game. So the narrative people think is that Ramondre Stevenson will be the primary running back. Travion Henderson will barely play. And because of that, his rush attempts are low. His yards are low. Everything's low, or his odds are long, depending on the way you want to look at it. I'm not scared away by that quiet AFC championship. The Patriots just go, they have a hot hand backfield. That's how they've played all season. They will go with a running back that looks better day of. Remember back in week 7, Travion Henderson had just 2 carries against the Titans. The next week, he had 10. In week 15, he only had 5 carries against the Ravens. The next week, he had 19. It would not be uncommon to then see Mike Vrabel give the ball back to Travion Henderson, especially if Ramondre Stevenson doesn't look sharp. At least give him a handful of carries. For this bet to hit, he only has to rush the ball 6 times. It's a plus money bet. I think his numbers are an overreaction to a 1-game sample size where he didn't touch the ball very often in the AFC Championship. I think he'll get the ball more often, especially because they're going to need explosive plays on the ground. And if they want explosive plays on the ground, Henderson's the way to go. Over 5.5 rush attempts, a plus 110. Seahawks. That's my number 6 play. Ooh, we got a long way to go. Jackson Smith and Jigba under 95.5 receiving yards, minus 112. Yeah, this might surprise you. I'm actually going to go under on his receiving yards total. Big reason is because he has a actually pretty tough matchup in front of him in Christian Gonzalez. So I think for the Seahawks to move the ball through the air, I think they're going to have to look in some other directions. And also, I think the Seahawks are going to be up enough in the second half, they won't need to throw the ball that often. So tough matchup in front of him. Run the ball more often than passing the ball. And I think there's a different receiver they're going to target, and that's a guy I'm going to talk about soon. But I think this receiving yards total is a little bit too high for Jackson Smith and Jigba. I'll go under 95.5 receiving yards for JSN. Next up, we got Jake Bobo. This is not the Seahawks receiver I'm targeting. Now, I will say, I guess I'll give you the pick first. Jake Bobo under 0.5 receptions, minus 250. So for Jake Bobo to not catch the ball. Now, when I first started my notes, because I can't do all this in one day because there's too many bets. When I first started these notes, he was minus 165 at BetMGM to not have a catch. When I went to go lock in my bets right before recording today, he was up to minus 250. So I'm still going to give it as a play. I will say no other sportsbook had Jake Bobo receptions totals other than BetMGM. Keep an eye because FanDuel and DraftKings and Caesars and all the others will add him eventually once we get closer to the game. Hopefully, I think you can find a better price than minus 250. This was a sharp play on my end, but I'm not going to give odds that don't exist as of recording this podcast, and they don't. The minus 165 was a great bet. I wish I bet it then. I waited because I'm a man of integrity. I place all my bets except for the Seahawks bet. But all the props, I waited till today to bet them, and now it's been bet up to minus 250. Still, I know he caught a touchdown against the Rams. A lot of people are on Jake Bobo to score a touchdown. I wish I was. I stared at it. I didn't. Then he scored a touchdown because, of course. But remember, this is a guy who had two receptions all season. Two. Two receptions in the entire regular season. Just because he caught a touchdown in the NFC Championship game does not mean he's going to get any balls thrown to him this time around. I'll go Jake Bobo to not record a reception, minus 250. If there is one player on the Patriots that I think has a chance for a big game, it is Hunter Henry. He is the guy I'm going to be betting on in terms of a Patriots player on offense. Hunter Henry, over 37.5 receiving yards, minus 118. The Seahawks have allowed they ranked 22nd in receiving yards allowed to tight ends this season, 31st in receptions allowed to tight ends. So they have actually not done a good job defending tight ends. It is the one weak point of their defense. And based on the fact the Patriots don't really have a lot of talent at wide out that they can use, I think they'd be smart to target their tight end, try to get the ball in Hunter Henry's hands early and often. And I'm going to bet on him several different ways, but this is the first way I'm going to bet on him. Hunter Henry over 37.5 receiving yards. I'll say one bet I don't have on a Hunter Henry, which maybe I should have on this list, is Super Bowl MVP. What's his MVP odds? Because if they just attack this part of the Seahawks defense not being able to cover tight ends, and the Patriots win, and he gets like 2 touchdowns, and the receivers do nothing, and Drake May has a pick. I don't think a tight end's ever won Super Bowl MVP. Could this be the first one? What are his MVP odds? Of course, I'm struggling to find it. Super Bowl MVP. 100-1. 100-1 to win Super Bowl MVP. I might sprinkle on that before. I just looked at one book. Maybe there's better odds out there. It's interesting. That's interesting. But yeah, Seahawks don't defend tight ends well. I'll go over 37.5 receiving yards for Hunter Henry. We're going back on another Travion Henderson prop. There's a lot of kind of repeats along the same vein type of bets. Travion Henderson to record a reception, minus 190. One reception for Travion Henderson. There are only 5 games all season that he didn't have a reception. And once again, I'm trying to take advantage of the fact I think the betting market is overreacting to his quiet AFC championship. I'm also going to bet on Ramondre Stevenson to go over his receptions total 2.5 at minus 165. You could do some alt receptions if you...
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Are you a Smashburger King? Creating those crispy edges and the intense beefy flavor that puts fast food to shame? Thanks to Omaha Steaks, I never have to worry about whether I have high-quality proteins on hand. And they have so many options, handcrafted steaks, convenient comfort meals, and it's always excellent. Celebrate President's Day with the exceptional handcrafted flavor and convenience of Omaha Steaks. Get 50% off the world's best everyday protein. Go to omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code YUM at checkout. Go to https://omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
If you want better, like, plus money. But I said the Seahawks haven't done a good job defending tight ends. Second most receptions they've allowed to opposing running backs. Second most receptions allowed to opposing running backs in the NFL. Now, I think that's more of a product of guys are so covered downfield that quarterbacks just then kind of dump it off to their dump-off guy, who is usually the running back. So I don't think that's necessarily weakness of theirs. I actually think it's a product of their strength of defending wide receivers. So regardless, no matter why it happens, it results in running backs getting a lot of catches against them. So both Travion Henderson to get a catch and then Ramondre Stevenson over 2.5 receptions, I think, are both good looks. 10 bets down, 50 to go. Bet number 11, Sam Darnold over 6.5 rushing yards. Him, much like a lot of quarterbacks, have a tendency to take off with their legs more often in big games. He's run for 7 or more yards in 3 of his last 5 games. Patriots give up the 6th most rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks this season. So let's get Sam Darnold running a little bit. Now, obviously, any time in the Super Bowl, any game really, but this has happened in the Super Bowl, it feels like a few times in recent memory, is if Sam Darnold goes over his rushing yards total, and the same for Drake May if you bet on it, don't count it as a win. Because if the game ends in kneel downs, that could screw you. I remember there was a Patrick Mahomes rushing yards against one of his wins. Was it the Eagles win? No, I think it was maybe his first win. There was a Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl where it was one of the most popular bets was him over his rushing yards total, and he had it. And then he took 3 knees, and one of them, he ran around a little bit and then took a knee and then lost it on his last knee. He went back under his rushing yards total. So never celebrate quarterback rushing yards total, unless it's obviously if he's 20 yards past the total, I think you're probably good to celebrate it. But if he's only a few yards past the total, don't celebrate that until the final whistle blows. Sam Darnold, over 6.5 rushing yards, -105. Rashid Shaheed, over longest reception over 14.5 yards, -120. He's not going to rack up a ton of yards, not going to rack up a ton of receptions, but we know he has the speed. He's had 11 games this season with a reception of at least 15 yards. If they complete a long one against the Patriots, there's a chance it is Rashid Shaheed, one of the most tongue twister names of all time. We're going back to Ramondre Stevenson. We're going to do Ramondre Stevenson longest rush under 12.5 yards. The Seahawks have arguably, I don't even think it's arguably, I think the Seahawks have the best run defense in the NFL, and they've allowed only 5 rushes of 20-plus yards. That's the fewest in the NFL. Ramondre Stevenson's not exactly known for his speed and explosiveness. I think the Seahawks keep it in check. I don't think he has a rush of 13 or more yards. Ramondre Stevenson, longest rush under 12.5 yards, -114. Kenneth Walker. I told you I'm going to be betting on him a lot in this game. Kenneth Walker, rushing plus receiving yards over 98.5, -110. I'm having a lot of trouble fitting these picks into the graphics. Whatever. Kenneth Walker racked up 111 all-purpose yards in the NFC Championship, 145 yards in the divisional round. And as I've written before, I think he's going to be a focal point of the Seahawks offense, and I think he will benefit from the Seahawks having a lead late in the game where they just start to hand him the ball and let him run down the clock. Kenneth Walker, over 98.5 rushing plus receiving yards. I'm doing more than just rushing yards because he has been a threat over the backfield as well. And with Zach Charbonnet out, Seahawks have proven they are completely okay with just riding with Kenneth. Let's get into some defensive props. We're going to start with Leonard Williams to record a sack. +140 at Caesars. It's over 0.3 sacks, so a half a sack works. Drake May has taken 5 sacks in all 3 of the Patriots playoff games. I had to take a sip of water. Drake May, one of the under-talked about things heading into the Super Bowl is that now that the Patriots were facing good defenses, Drake May was under pressure a lot. 5 sacks in all 3 games. Chargers got 5, Texans got 5, Broncos got 5. That leads me to believe the Seahawks are also going to create pressure. Now, the only question is, who's going to be the one to get the sack? Because the Seahawks don't have one single great pass rusher. Leonard, there's a 3-way tie for most sacks on the Seahawks this season. Leonard Williams is one of them with 7 or 7.5. 7. Leonard Williams is the guy I chose to get a sack. I bet on him at +140. We're going to keep with some defensive props. We're going to go Ernest Jones the 4th. Crazy, I don't see many 4ths. Over 4.5 tackles at -113. Now, these props are going to be a little bit different depending on where you bet them. This is not 4.5 combined tackles. This is 4.5 tackles, which means a solo tackle counts as 1, a half tackle counts as a half. He had 126 total tackles, which was 30 more than anyone else on the Seahawks. But if you count assists as half tackles, which is the case for this prop bet, he still had 93. That's an average of 6.2 total tackles per game. He played in 15 games in the regular season, so he averaged well above what the total is for this game. So he just needs 5 total tackles, 4.5 is possible. So it is possible to get a push on this bet. But based on his season totals, he is by far the most busy tackler on the Seahawks defense. I'll go over 4.5 tackles, -113. I got some Patriots defensive props too. Do not be afraid of that. Let's go over to Kalavon Chaisson to get a sack, +180. Patriots defense has cranked up the pressure, cranked up the blitz rate in the playoffs. If that continues, Sam Darnold can certainly get sacked. He's not playing behind the best offensive line in football. He has been known to take sacks. 5 total times he's been sacked combined so far in the playoffs. And Kalavon Chaisson, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, 3 sacks in the postseason. He was 2nd on the team in sacks in the regular season, the 7.5 in 6 games. So I'll bet on him to get a sack at +180. I'm also going to bet on their middle linebacker, Christian Ellis, over 2.5 tackles. If the Seahawks are going to run the ball at 50% clip like they did all season, Christian Ellis could have a busy day. He's their middle linebacker. He racked up 94 total tackles in the regular season, which is the 2nd most on the team despite only playing 15 games. If you count his assists as half a tackle, he had 66.5 tackles, an average of 4.43 per game. Still, that's well above the set total of 2.5. And once again, because of the run play rate, I think that'll lead to even more tackles for Christian Ellis. So Christian Ellis over 2.5 tackles, -115. All right, let's get back to, I got one more offensive prop, and then we're going to switch over to some special teams and defensive props. Cooper Kupp. I said earlier, I think there's a receiver not named Jackson Smith and Jigba who's going to have a big game for the Seahawks. Maybe not huge, but Cooper Kupp over 3.5 receptions, +130 at BetMGM. May have lost his step at 32 years old, which is crazy. Before, like when I was writing my notes for this pick, I was like, yeah, Cooper Kupp's getting a little bit old. Like, he's lost a step. And then I look him up, he's a year younger than me. Ugh. There's nothing more humbling than seeing how old athletes are that we all think are old and like past their prime. He's only 32. God damn. We can say with absolute certainty, though, that the moment will not be big for Cooper Kupp. He's a former Super Bowl MVP, won Super Bowl MVP not that long ago. He had 5 receptions in the divisional round, 4 receptions in the NFC Championship. We only need him to get 4 to cash this plus money prop bet. And the Seahawks got to feel comfortable going to him. A guy who's been there, done that. A guy who's shown up already in big moments in the playoffs. Over 3.5 receptions, +130. Let's talk some special teams props, everyone's favorite. Patriots kicker Andy Borgalis. Over 1.5 field goals made, -124 at Caesars. Pretty straightforward here. Red zone offense has been a weak point for the Seahawks. 22nd red zone touchdown percentage. They score a touchdown on just 55.07% of the red zone trips. Now they take on a Seahawks defense that ranks 5th in red zone defense. Teams score a touchdown on only 50.91% of red zone trips against them. So if the Patriots offense struggles in the red zone, that will lead to more field goals. And just if they struggle to move the ball once they get past midfield at all, it'll lead to more field goals. So Andy Borgalis, over 1.5 field goals made, -124 at Caesars. Got his prop bet, by the way, 20 bets in, 40 to go. Whew. Take a breath. All right, bet number 21. I got one on the Seahawks kicker as well, but I'm going to do the opposite for the Seahawks kicker. Jason Myers under 1.5 field goals made, +146. Patriots red zone issues, kind of surprising they made it this far with the red zone issues. 22nd red zone offense, 23rd in red zone defense. Team score touchdown in 60.42% of their red zone trips against them. If that continues in this game, if the Seahawks score touchdowns instead of field goals, obviously that's going to mean Jason Myers is not going to have a busy day. I like this at plus 146. Myers under 1.5 field goals made, plus 146. I have another defensive prop that I didn't give out earlier, but I did mention Christian Gonzalez. I think Christian Gonzalez is going to have a good game covering Jaxon Smith-Njigba, which I know goes against the narrative that I think the Seahawks win, but I do trust Gonzalez in this situation. I'm going to bet on Christian Gonzalez to get an interception at plus 700, 7-1 odds on Gonzalez to throw pick. If, now this is where I get into a situation where this actually kind of goes against how I think the game is going to play out, but if the Seahawks find themselves down in the second half and Sam Darnold is kind of panicking a little bit, he's going to start to force the ball to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, some ill-advised throws, and if he does that, Christian Gonzalez is going to have a chance to get an interception. But this is one of the narratives. I do think Christian Gonzalez is going to have a good game against the best receiver in the NFL, which I know is crazy. But I'll bet on that 7-1 interception prop bet. Sure, let's do it. Now we're into touchdown bets. These are going to be pretty quick because they're all players I've already talked about. Cooper Kupp, anytime touchdown, plus 265. I already talked about him. A guy who I think the Seahawks are going to lean on. A guy who scored a touchdown in the NFC Championship game. A guy who scored touchdowns in the Super Bowl before, including a very clutch touchdown. Plus 265 at Caesars for Cooper Kupp to score a touchdown. Kenneth Walker, who I've talked about to have a big game. We're going to get aggressive with Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker, 2+ touchdowns. Plus 310 at Caesars. If they ride him, why can't he score 2 touchdowns? I mean, he can do it on the ground. He can do it through the air. Kenneth Walker, 2+ touchdowns. The one offensive player who I'm targeting for the Patriots, actually one of two. I'm going to bet on both of them. Hunter Henry. Anytime touchdown, plus 230. Seahawks don't defend tight ends well. Let's bet on Hunter Henry to score a touchdown. I'm also going to bet on the running back who I think is being undervalued in the betting market, Travion Henderson. Anytime touchdown, plus 500 at DraftKings. 5-1 for Travion Henderson to score at DraftKings. Now, I'm also going to place a first touchdown bet for both teams, but it's the same thing. I'll take my favorite touchdown score from each team and bet them both to be the first touchdown score. So, Cooper Kupp, first touchdown, 13-1 at Caesars. Water. All right. See, we're ripping through these. Hunter Henry, first touchdown score, 16-1 at FanDuel. All right, 28 bets down. Now, this is the point when I'm going through all my picks and doing my notes, and I'm like, all right, I got a side, I got a total, I got player props, I got touchdowns done. What is there next to bet on? The answer is first quarter, first half, second quarter, quarter and half, money line, and totals. This is just more of the same. This is just me double dipping on the Seahawks, triple dipping, quadruple dipping. Seahawks first quarter money line minus 155 at Caesars. The Seahawks lead the NFL. Sometimes as I'm reading my notes, which my notes are just the article that I'm writing, that I've already written, just not published yet. So me actually going through my notes as I'm recording the podcast is actually how I edit these articles too. Because I just found a typo in this pick. Seahawks lead the NFL in first quarter points per game this season. 7 first quarter points per game. They're also second in the league in opponent first quarter points per game. So they had an average point differential of plus 4.2 in the first quarter. I like the Seahawks a lot. I think they start off hot. First quarter money line minus 155. If I like them first quarter money line, guess what else I like them? Second quarter money line, minus 170. I got to pay a little bit of a bigger price because first quarter kind of goes pretty quick. You have scripted plays, things, crazy things can happen in the first quarter. Second quarter, things slow down a little bit. You have the 2-minute warning. You get more plays in the second quarter. So because of that, Seahawks are bigger favorites. You know, the favorite, better chance of outscoring the underdog in the second quarter as opposed to the first quarter. First quarter, Whoever gets the ball first plays a big role in that as well, which we don't know who's going to get the ball first yet. Seahawks second quarter money line -170. Seahawks defense allows the fewest second quarter points at 4.7. Once again, I don't have anything else to add. 60 bets. I'm not going to have a deep dive analytics on all of them. I expect the Seahawks to get off to a hot start. First quarter total. Now, this one's been bet down. First quarter total under 8.5. I saw it at 9 when I first started my notes last week. Down to 8.5. First quarter under 8.5, -120. I think this game is underwritten all over it, including the first quarter. Patriots offense has struggled against elite defenses. Another typo in my article. Good job for me for finding that out. I don't expect that to change. First quarter under 8.5. That would be a touchdown, and that feels like that's a lot of points for, I guess, 3 field goals. But that feels like a lot of points. The first quarter always seems to zip by in the Super Bowl. First half, once again. I don't have anything else to add. It just is what it is. Seahawks, first half spread. I'm not going to do first half money line. First half spread, -3.5, +101. I think the Seahawks will be up double digits at halftime. They have the best first half point differential in the NFL at +7.4. How about that? First half total, under. Of course, if I'm going to bet the full game under, why would I then go first half over? Now, this might be a way to go if you like the full game under, but you're scared of fourth quarters, because fourth quarter, especially in Super Bowls, it feels like sometimes it's just like a plethora of points. It just gets crazy. Things get wild in the fourth quarter. Maybe just bet first total under. Under 22.5? With these defenses? I'd be surprised. First half total under 22.5, -108. Now we have a team total bet. Patriots team total under 20.5, -125 at BetMGM. The Patriots are averaging 15.6 offensive points per game in the playoffs. Now they have to take on arguably the best defense they've faced yet. So they would have to go over their playoff average by 5 points, barring obviously any defensive or special teams touchdowns. I don't see it. Actually, by 6 points. Team total under 20.5 for the Patriots. I think this is going to be a big game for the Seahawks defense, if you haven't gathered that yet. Drake May to throw an interception. Odds have changed on this one, too. He was like -115. Now he's -138 is the best price I could find. 2 interceptions already in the postseason. If they find themselves down late, he'll have to force balls into tight coverage. Drake May to throw an interception, -138. All right, let's talk first drive results. What's going to happen on the first drive for each team? This is so stupid. This is bet number 36 of 60. What's going to happen on the Patriots' first drive? Punt. -105. Patriots playoff game so far against the Chargers, their first drive was 5 plays, punt. Against the Texans, there's a 3-and-out, punt. Against the Broncos, there's a 3-and-out, punt. They've struggled against bad defenses, and even like game scripting and like scripted plays and it being the first drive, that hasn't helped them. Punt, punt, punt is how their drives have started so far in the playoffs. I think it'll also end in the Super Bowl. Punt. -105. Might be my best bet on the board. Seahawks first drive. I told you. I think they're getting off to a lead early. Seahawks first drive. Touchdown. +230. These graphics are really not fitting in the screen. There we go. Seahawks lead the NFL in first quarter points per game. They've also tied. They're also tied for second in the NFL in first possessions resulting in a touchdown being scored. 12 of their 17 regular season games, the first time they touched the ball, they scored a touchdown. Now let's do most passing, most receiving, most rushing yards. Most passing yards. Unless an injury happens, it's going to be one of two guys. Sam Darnold or Drake May. Drake May. Nope. Oh. Sam Darnold, most passing yards, -128. Drake May is averaging 177.66 passing yards per game in the playoffs, and really a pretty good game against the Chargers is doing a lot of that heavy lifting. 86 yards against the Broncos last week. Not good. Sam Darnold not only has an easier secondary, a worse secondary that he gets to face, he also has better offensive weapons. Stephon Diggs ain't it. Keyshawn Booty ain't it. Sam Darnold, I think both Cooper Kupp and JSN are better than the top two receivers for the Patriots. Patriots have a better tight end, to be fair. But overall, Sam Darnold has a bit better offensive weapons, facing a worse secondary. The only thing that makes me nervous about this bet is if the Seahawks are up late and Drake May just gets garbage time yards. That would suck. But if it's going to be a close game, I'll take Sam Darnold. Most passing yards, minus 128. I'm going to take a long shot on most receiving yards. I'm going to go Rashid Shaheed most receiving yards at 22-1. Cooper Kupp might actually not be a bad look for this bet as well. But I think this is overall going to be a defensive game. I don't think there's going to be any receiver that's going to have a huge game. And Rashid Shaheed, I'm already betting on him to have a long reception. He could haul in like two catches for 65 yards. And I could see a world where that's the most receiving yards by a player in this game. Truly. I don't think he's going to come out and have seven receptions. But if he does get like one or two deep passes, and if JSN gets slowed down by Christian Gonzalez, and if Drake May can't get anything going through the air, like, I see a world Rashid Shaheed is like two catches for 70 yards and that wins most receiving yards. So I'll take a shot on that being the case at 22-1. Best price available at Caesars, 22-1, Rashid Shaheed most receiving yards. I'm once again going to target Travion Henderson. For these most yards markets, I'd like to just see if I can cash in on a long shot. Travion Henderson, most rushing yards, 20-1. If the Patriots come out, Ramondre Stevenson doesn't look sharp. Travion Henderson starts off with a few good rushes. The Patriots, like I said, I think they just go hot hand. What if Travion Henderson's a hot hand? What if they ride him to a Super Bowl win? 20-1, I think that's a fair price. I think that's certainly within the realm of possibility. Travion Henderson, most rushing yards, 20-1. 40 bets down, 20 to go. One more drink of water here. All right. We're getting to the fun ones here soon. Super Bowl MVP bets. I got one for each team. Super Bowl MVP for the Seahawks, I'm going to go Kenneth Walker plus 850. I know JSN is the obvious choice, but I think the Seahawks are going to be up so much they might just run the ball. And I think Christian Gonzalez can slow down JSN. Kenneth Walker has gotten over 100 scrimmage yards in two straight games. He can run the ball. He's going to get a ton of carries. He's going to get a ton of catches. Well, a handful of catches. He's going to get a ton of work, play a ton of snaps. More than a fair price, I think, on Kenneth Walker, plus 850. I have a crazy long shot for Super Bowl MVP for the Patriots, and it's a guy whose name I've mentioned several times. If this ends up being true, this might be the greatest call I've ever made. Christian Gonzalez for the Patriots, 150-1 for Super Bowl MVP. Now, you can envision a script where the Patriots win the game, the Seahawks offense does nothing, Christian Gonzalez shuts down JSN, Sam Darnold forces the ball to JSN, Christian Gonzalez gets an interception, maybe two. It's a low-scoring game because Drake May also struggles. It's a defensive game, a low-scoring game, and the guy who got one or two interceptions defending the best receiver in the NFL wins MVP. Defensive players have won MVP. It's not unheard of. Malcolm Smith in 2014, Von Miller in 2016. It's possible. So 150-1, Christian Gonzalez to win Super Bowl MVP. Now, this next bet is my favorite prop bet, game prop bet, not player prop bet. Game. My favorite player prop might actually be Hunter Henry over his receiving yards. My favorite game prop is this one. Under 39.5 first downs at even money. Now, bet this at DraftKings as soon as you can because it was 39 across the board everywhere. Most places is down to 38.5. DraftKings is the only one that has 39.5 for first downs, and it's also at plus money. So under 39.5 first downs, even money. Seahawks and Patriots actually didn't get a ton of first downs this season. Explosive plays actually led to, because, you know, to get a ton of first downs, you don't really want explosive plays. You want like one first down at a time. But Drake Maye's deep balls, Sam Darnold's JSN deep balls, Rashid Shaheed deep balls, explosive plays in the rushing attack led to the Seahawks and Patriots are only 11th and 12th in first downs per game this season, averaging a combined 40.2 first downs per game. So they would have to hit their offensive average for first downs per game for this bet to cash. But now they have to take on defenses who are great at not allowing first downs. The Patriots and Seahawks allowed a combined 34.8 first downs per game. So if you think this is going to be a defensive battle, this is a niche bet that I don't think the betting market has fully adjusted to yet. Because a lot of game totals, a lot of props are like starting to go down. This is one that I think is still available to pick off. Under 39.5 first downs at even money. In a similar vein, if you want to go a little bit of a different direction, but in a similar vein, total successful third down conversions. Under 11.5 minus 150, that's at DraftKings. These two teams also not great on third down. 13th and 14th in third down conversion rate heading into the Super Bowl. Defensively, they're first and ninth in opponent third down conversion rate. Seahawks allow first down only 32.28% of opponents' third down opportunities. That's the best in the NFL by like 3%. So I think if you bet both of these under first downs and under third down conversions, I think you might hit both. And if a lot of first downs happen, the first downs might come on first and second down, and then kind of the third down conversions might hit. So I like that pairing a lot. Bet number 45. This is another one I love. Will any punt result in a touchback? Now, if you don't mind laying a minus 150 price point, will any punt result in a touchback? No. Minus 150. Michael Dixon, the punter for the Seahawks, had just 3 punts all season that resulted in a touchback. Bryce Barringer, the Patriots punter, had just 5 punts all season result in a touchback. So a combined 8 punts for these two punters have resulted in a touchback this season. That leads me to believe that the no at minus 150 is more than a fair price for no punt resulting in a touchback. Minus 150. Now, I'd actually like to, you know what? I'm going to look something up. What do you think is the over? Okay. What is the percentage of punts that result in a touchback in the NFL in the 2025-2026 season? Approximately 9% of all punts. About how many? Yeah, okay. I'd have to look into that a little bit more, but I do think this is a good price at minus 150 for that. I can't do that mental math right now while I'm recording a podcast. But any punt resulting in touchback, no, minus 150. Now, maybe this is counterintuitive because I'm also going to bet on over 7.5 punts, which I also like. Patriots punted an average of 6.3 times per game in the playoffs. So if they have another bad performance offensively, and if they punt 6 times, the Seahawks need to only punt twice for this bet to cash. So, once again, another way, if you think it's going to be a defensive battle, another way to cash in on that, over 7.5 punts. Do you guys see how it's kind of like, I think if you're going to place a ton of bets, this is what you do. You come up with what you think the game's going to be, and then all the bets should be in line with that outcome. Now, if you do that, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're probably going to have a really good Super Bowl, or you're going to have a really bad Super Bowl. Last year, I think my narrative were Chiefs were going to win a low-scoring game and the Eagles won a high-scoring game, so nothing hit at all. But if this ends up being like a Seahawks cover the spread in a low-scoring game, I might walk away with this profitable. Maybe. Now, it's $5 a bet, so unless I hit one of these big ones, it can only be so profitable, but be nice to walk away in the green. But what I'm trying to say is all these bets are kind of all synced up. Bet number 47. Okay, so the rest of the bets here are completely for fun. I have very little reason to bet any of them. First one is opening kickoff to be a touchback. Did I bet yes or no on this? I wrote down yes, but I thought it was no. Yes, I did put yes. Once again, these final bets, truly just for fun. So the opening kickoff to be a touchback at 3-1. I think a lot of people are going to say no, because I think it's going to be the opening kickoff of the Super Bowl is going to, like, they're going to run it out no matter what. But I feel like a ton of kicks now result in a touchback. So I'll go yes, that the opening kickoff will result in a touchback at 3-1. Color of Gatorade bath on winning coach. Red, 11-1. Hasn't been red in a long time. Reds do. Red Gatorades do. I don't even know the last time red Gatorade, the short history I looked at, it didn't happen in like the past 15 years. But why? Why can't it be red? You know? You just going to bet on orange because it's been orange a ton lately? No, give me red. 11-1. Why not? I don't know. Maybe all my bets will suck and then like I'll win on this at 11-1 and it'll recoup some of my losses. Who will the MVP thank first in the speech? I went teammates plus 210. God is the overwhelming favorite. But if you remember Sam Darnold, his first interview right after the NFC Championship was over, he thanked his teammates first. It's a big thank you to his teammates type of interview. If Sam Darnold wins MVP, maybe he thanks his teammates again. I'll take a shot at plus 210. Bet number 50. Will a player or coach cry during the national anthem? No. Plus 184. I think that iconic image of Nick Sirianni crying during the anthem. What is the no Sean Marino? Is that the other running? Was that the running back who cried during the anthem? I think this like makes people think that like coaches and players cry during the anthem more often than they do. I don't think they cry that often during the anthem. So I'll go, will a player or coach cry during the national anthem? No, plus 184. By the way, if you want these weird bets, most states you live in aren't going to have these niche bets. You're probably going to have to go offshore. If you live in Canada, in Ontario, these are all at FanDuel. FanDuel has some fun ones. Another benefit of living in Canada, sportsbooks are allowed to post these novelty props. Obviously small limits, but they are available for you to bet on. Length of national anthem, under 119.5 seconds. My theory behind this is I watched a Charlie Puth interview with Ryan Seacrest. And in that, he said he plans for his rendition of the national anthem to be a nod to Whitney Houston's in 1991. Because he is the second artist from the state of New Jersey to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. I went back and watched Whitney Houston's performance, which is one of the greatest national anthem performances of all time. It's the 1991 Super Bowl. Her national anthem was 117 seconds long. The over-under for Charlie Puth's 119.5. If the nod he's going to give to her is that it's exactly the same time, it's going to go under. Now, I have read that there's some offshore books that sharp money is coming in on the over. But I'm going to go under based on my theory. Now, bet this early in the week because as soon as the actual like pre-game, the practice, I don't know why I can't think of the word, but the practice, when he practices the anthem, the market comes off the board. So you have to bet this early in the week. Gone are the days where someone would record, the rehearsal is the word I was looking for. Gone are the days people would record the rehearsal and you'd be able to bet on it based on that recording. Nope. It'll be off the board by then. Bet number 52. We're talking halftime show now. Bad Bunny first song performed, Mi Porto Bonito at 11-1. I'm not a Bad Bunny fan. I don't think I've ever listened to a Bad Bunny song. I'm still waiting for Blink-182 to get the Super Bowl halftime show. But I did read that Mi Porto Bonito is a high energy song. And I think it makes sense for him to start his performance with a high energy song. So I'll take a shot at Mi Porto Bonito 11-1 to be Bad Bunny's first song. Special appearance during the halftime show. These are two separate bets. I'm going to bet on Jennifer Lopez to appear during the halftime show at minus 125. I'm also going to bet on Shakira to appear during the halftime show at plus 340. Why? I'm glad you asked. People forget that Bad Bunny has already made an appearance in a Super Bowl halftime show. He was a guest performer during Shakira and Jennifer Lopez's performance in 2020. Does he then repay that favor by having them on as guest performers when he headlines the Super Bowl halftime show? Maybe. So J-Lo, minus 125 to make a guest appearance during the halftime show. Shakira, plus 340 to make an appearance during the halftime show. Total number of halftime songs performed, over 11.5, minus 110. It's typically between 10 and 12. 11.5 is a very sharp number. Fuck it, I'll bet the over. Bet number 56, two-point conversion attempt. Yes, plus 130. There will be a two-point conversion attempt. I actually think from an actual, like, sharp perspective, I think this is actually a bad price, but fuck it. Seahawks up big in the second half. Patriots may be desperate for points. Go for a two-point conversion. They're down 16, score a touchdown, have to go for a two-point conversion. You could get longer odds and there'd be a successful two-point conversion, but that would suck to bet on that happens. A two-point conversion gets an attempt and they don't get it. So I'm just going to bet on attempt, plus 130. Final score to be a scoregami. Yes, 28-1. Why? Fuck it. Last time there was a scoregami in the Super Bowl was when the Seahawks defeated the Denver Broncos 43-8. Maybe history will repeat itself now that Seattle is back in the game. Now, this is scoregami NFL history. This is not just scoregami of Super Bowls, or else this would be a very easy 28-1 bet. Coin toss. We have three bets left. Coin toss, outcome, heads. I think the way to bet the coin toss for the Super Bowl is you pick which side and then just every year you just go with that side. Because if you alternate back and forth, like, it would suck to be like you bet heads one year, it ends up tails. The next year you switch, you go tails, and then it ends up head. That's just frustrating. Just pick whether you're a heads guy or a tails guy and then just roll with that forever. I have a number of years ago decided I'm a heads guy. So I'm a heads. Best price I could find of the big sports books, BetMGM. Obviously, it's a coin flip, so you want to find even money. That would be true odds. But BetMGM is minus 102. That's pretty close. That's pretty close. Remember, tails never fails until it does. And then it's heads. Team to win coin toss, I will take the Patriots minus 102. No franchises in NFL history, maybe sports history, has had the amount of luck the Patriots have had through the years, so let's just bet on, and what truly is only a thing of luck, let's bet on the Patriots winning the pregame coin toss minus 102. Finally, one more sip of water. My final bet for Super Bowl 60. Final score prediction. As I said, I think Seahawks win and cover comfortably, but I think the total goes under. So my final score prediction is Seahawks 28, Patriots 17. That would be Seahawks win comfortably, cover comfortably, and the total goes under by half a point. I bet on that at 250-1. Seahawks 28, Patriots 17. Obviously, that wouldn't be a scoregami. There's no way. No, it's not. It wouldn't be a scoregami, but 250-1. And it checks off all the boxes that I was looking to check off. That is kind of the conclusion of all of my picks. Is Seahawks win, they cover, total goes under. So there you have it. I'm not going to recap those plays because I have no voice left already. Those are my 60 bets for Super Bowl 60. Enjoy the action, whether you watch it by yourself at home, whether you're at a Super Bowl party, whether you're at the bar, whether you're at the game. Enjoy it, because when it's over, the NFL season will be further away than ever. Gambler, bless. Good luck. I'll talk to you later.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.